conference where Carrie Nevins spoke. It was at the Board of Governors for the California Applicants Attorneys Association. And she did say that statistics are showing that there's been a decrease of approximately 25% to 30% in permanent disability benefits to the injured worker. I see it. I see it every day. I'll give you an example. Chairman Miller, chairman of the board, came to me with a case that I happened to be on the panel with him, and he said, this is an example of what 899 has done. Under the old rating schedule, this individual would have received 65% permanent disability, but under the new schedule, they received 9% permanent disability. A dramatic difference. It's not to say that the old schedule was correct. It probably wasn't. It may have been too high, but that's the kind of thing we're seeing. One of the other things that I've heard about that I haven't seen, now that we use the AMA guides to impairment, before we go into the diminished future earning capacity calculation, the doctor has to make a determination as to the level of impairment. Well, sometimes the guides don't provide for impairment. They can say that the individual has 0% impairment, yet the doctor in the same breath can say they can't go back to their usual and customary job. What does that do to the individual? It leaves them with no permanent disability, no rehabilitation, because the legislature has seen fit to do away with rehabilitation. And those people are caught in the middle. And I see that, and that's a personal, anecdotal observation. What can be done about it, I defer to you, and I defer to the administration.
Thank you.
Good. No? Alex?
A little bit of a follow-up. Maybe a broader comment on your part about the workers' compensation post the 2004 quote-unquote reforms, how they're working, how they're not working. I know the previous question was specific to permanent disability. I don't know if you have an opinion as to whether the current rates are sufficient.
Well, as I told Senator Perot, I won't comment on the judicial thing, but I'll give you my observation of 34 years of practice. I believed reform was necessary.
I don't think anybody disagrees with that.
Right. But what has happened with the reform is a great deal of uncertainty, and that's where the board comes in and tries to interpret the law and provide some certainty to the community. And some of it is rather harsh when one compares the old law to the new law. It is. There's just no getting around it. Before 899, if an injured worker had been on the job for 30 years and hurt their back, they received the full level of permanent disability. Right now they don't, because we have what is known as apportionment. We apportion to cause. If a doctor should say 50% of that disability is a result of the ongoing degenerative process in one's spine or knee or ankle or whatever, then we, and I say we, the workers' compensation judges and the appeals board and the courts of appeal have said that we deduct that disability by 50%. That's harsh. That's harsh, and it's not something that wasn't done before. The other thing is the litigation has increased at the Workers' Compensation Appeals Board because of the number of appeals. We have Representative Ka here. They can tell you that they're filing more and more appeals with the board, which in turn go to the Court of Appeals. We provided the committee with the statistics on that, and I think they bear out the fact that there is a significant amount of litigation at the appellate level. The litigation, as I understand, again, this is from Carrie Nevins, the administrative director, she said that the numbers of filings are down at the local district offices of the Workers' Compensation Appeals Board, and that may have something to do with the fact that the individuals are frustrated by the process. Applicants' attorneys are not as in greater numbers as they used to be. I think cause membership has dropped. It's very difficult to represent injured workers when the end result may be a relatively minor recovery on their behalf.
Well, your comment earlier about the need for reform. Obviously, in 2004, everybody agreed.
Right.
Or in 2008.
Are we out of the clear,
do we need more reform?
I think you need to look at the numbers.
And what would more reform look like?
Well, that I'm going to leave to you, but I would certainly think that you've got to look at permanent disability. I believe
any,
that...
Any other elements of our system that
well,
worthy of revisiting?
I think when you revisit permanent disability, apportionment should be looked at. I can't comment upon some of the things that are before us because some of the concepts are there. Some of the concepts, I'll tell you what some of the concepts are. For example, age discrimination. A person who is 60 years old and gets apportionment to degenerative process, is that age discrimination? Because those of us who are 60, I'm sure, I know for a fact, the MRI of my back shows that it's degenerated. Is it a natural process, or is if you're a hod carrier, is it a result of carrying hod cement sacks for 50 years? I don't know. And that's something that one has to defer to you and the administration.
Let me read a section of Labor Code, Section 3202. This division and Division 5 shall be liberally construed by the courts for the purpose of extending their benefits for the protection of persons injured in the course of their employment.
Right, that's the liberal interpretation statute. Then you go to 3202.5, and it says a case must be proved by the preponderance of the evidence. And so you're in a quandary. When I first started practicing, there was no 3202.5. I guess the best way to describe that is, as my torts professor explained to me, if you went into court with a res ipsa loquitur case, you went in with an empty briefcase. You've got to have just a little bit more than 3202. And 3202 is used extensively. It's in the back of my head every time I look at a case. Every time we as the statistics show, we review about 7 to 10 cases per day. It's a very, very busy position. And I can't escape, that can't escape from my mind, that it's there. And if all things equal, well, the ball is in the applicant's court.
No, and obviously the merits of the case are the merits of the case. Systemic question, are you provided the materials, background information you need on a timely basis? Are there workload concerns for yourself or support staff?
Oh, the support staff is fabulous. One of the things I was concerned about after having practiced 34 years and been with the same firm for 25 years and the same partners for that amount of time, it was a big change, and I went to this job really worried about it, and I got there, and I found the staff was fabulous, secretarial help, the clerical help, the deputies, and the fellow commissioners. I was at home, felt like I was home in a week, and it was great.
Okay. And last question, the proposed budget cuts by the governor, how would, if implemented, those affect you and your ability to do your job?
I don't think it affects us. We're user-funded, and we're not part of the general fund. And it's an assessment against all carriers and self-insureds.
Okay, thank you.
We could change that, you know.
No, don't. It took us a while to get it.
Any other questions? I don't think you have any family here. Did you mention that?
Yeah, let me explain that. They were all coming up. I have an 89-year-old mother-in-law who had a little emergency, so my wife had to stay home and take care of her. My son's skiing in Chamonix, France for the season, and my daughter's back in Missoula with her boyfriend.
Oh, it's genetic, that skiing
Yeah, it
stuff.
Is.
Oh, yeah.
It was a mistake I made, putting them on the Squaw Valley ski team as youngsters.
Anyone in support? Opposition? Motion?
Approve.
We have a motion to approve. Call the roll, please.
Cedillo?
Aye.
Cedillo, aye. Dutton?
Aye.
Dutton, aye. Padilla?
Aye.
Padilla, aye. Ashburn?
Aye.
Ashburn, aye. Parada?
Aye.
Parada, aye. 5-0.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Senators.
On the East Bay, we call it Moresi.
Moresi. Well, yeah. You got to roll that R.
We're you know, slow.
My father was from Lugano, Switzerland, and he used to say, you can call me anything, but don't call me Italian. But then again, my mother's Sicilian.
It's a good thing. Well, she's not Italian either.
That's absolutely right. That's what everybody says.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reference of bills. Thank you, sir. Now you got my curiosity.
Rim of the World Trail.
Oh, of course. Yeah. All right. So, all bills 5-0. Anybody have any objection with all the long list of people here, E through U? Okay, without objection, 5-0. 4, 5, 6, 7?
5, the ratio is 7-1. We do as proposed. It seems a little lopsided.
I think.
Although I'm certainly in favor of fair elections, just want to clarify that.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody feel, you know? Okay.
So is this particular appointment okay, and then we'll look for others, or are you holding it?
Why don't we hold it?
Hold it.
A week, and then we'll see. We'll come and try to come back with something specific.
Okay. Do you guys want to hold on to the Un-American Activities files?
What are we doing with them?
They're in the Secretary of State asked if we'd open them. They cover a period from 1940 to 1970 when the Senate ran its own Un-American Activities operation. And we sent them over to the archives in 1971 as a closed set. There's about 70 file boxes of them.
They got nothing better to do?
They just sit there.
If somebody wants
no,
to
No, in
see
those
them.
Days they didn't, no.
I mean now.
Now? The people, there's academic folks that want to start using them for research purposes, and frankly, the House Un-American Activities files opened 10 years ago.
So we're following
We've only kept
behind.
Them the last 10 years because Senator Burton found himself in there.
Shit, no shit.
That wasn't the only file he found himself
in. And was profoundly offended. So.
You know, there's a time when he would have been proud
of that, right? Yeah. Like the Nixon
list. Well, that's okay with me. I mean, far be it for me to stand in the way of academia.
Most
yeah.
of everybody's pretty much gone, I think.
Yeah. Well, redact anybody that's alive.
Okay, so.
And John's on the cusp.
Consensus is to open.
The consensus is to, well, geez, a nice turn of a phrase, yes. The consensus is to open. Yeah, that way nobody would be pointed out personally. For your information. Senator Aquis, Chair of the Senate Health Subcommittee on Aging and Long-Term Care, has appointed Senators Cox and Yee. And the media's gone. God. And then 8, 9, and 10, we're okay. All right.
And number 4 was okay?
Number 4 is okay. And now we have to go into executive session for secret appointments.